Glad I was out this morning. Glad you could be here with us. And hopefully the message I have here is always say, help us and guide us in our walk with Christ. Today I want to talk about, the truth and the spirit. Not listening to not believing everything we hear. Testing the spirit. Truth has become a lost art in this country today. When a person decides to seek the truth or search for God, where do they turn? If they're trying to grow their relationship with Christ, where do they turn? Who do they listen to? When the critics attack our faith, when the liberal scholars launch another attack on the faith, who do we believe? When these major publications taught out their annual, "I don't believe the Bible of Jesus," to feature Jesus' issues, who do they turn to? Who do we believe? How can we tell if a person is telling us the truth or lying to us? Some give it away by their body language, some by the tone in their voice. Sometimes when a person says it's so incredible hard to believe. How do we tell if a person is giving us the truth concerning our spiritual matters? Are we just gullible and believe whatever they say? Or believe whatever we hear? If a person is telling us they're well-educated and they hold some religious title, does that mean they proclaim the truth every time they tell us? How can we determine if a person is a false teacher? Today we're going to look at 1 John 4, 1 through 6. And we'll study this text this morning to help us determine a little bit about the truth. We'll begin in verse 1. John 4 and 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." And this is called the logic test. It's simple. One thing that complicates that search in the truth is the fact that it appears so many different truths are out there to believe. The problem is, all of these truths can't be true. As bad as it is today, someone is wrong no matter how sincere they are in what they're telling. So, who are we to believe? There are a lot of forces out there trying to lead us astray. It defies the logic to think that everyone is right and everyone has the truth. Who do we believe and why? How are we basing our beliefs on evidence? There was a young, I have a story. There was a young American engineer, his name was Billy. He was sent to Ireland by his company to work in an electronics plant. And it was a 2-year assignment that he had accepted because it would help him earn enough money for him and his fiance, to get their life started. So she had grown up near their hometown in Tennessee. And they had planned on putting their money together, put a down payment on the house when he got back and everything. And so they corresponded often through letters. And as the weeks went by, she became increasingly worried that he might, stray off to some of those, lovely Irish women over there. And he wrote back to her declaring, I'm faithful to you. And he admitted that sometimes he was tempted. But he's fighting it off and he's keeping those women away from him. So in his next mail package he got, she sent him a harmonica. She said, "Well, you can learn how to play this so that way it'll keep you occupied and not looking at those women." And he replied the next letter to her. He said, "Thank you for the harmonica. I practice it every day and every night when I get a chance, so I can learn how to play it." And his 2-year commitment over there ended and he came back home. And his first place was to go to see her in Tennessee. And her whole family was at the airport and they both was there. And he went up to her to give her a hug and a kiss and she put her hand up and stopped. She said, "Pull out that harmonica, I want to see you play." That was her trying to test his spirit. Test him to see if he was, if he was being truthful. And that's sometimes what we have to do. I'm up here and yes, I'm, giving you some Bible verses and talking to you, but it's up to you ultimately to read the Bible and test me to see if I'm telling you the truth. And I want you to do that because if I'm up here giving some false thing or you have a concern about something I say, we're both in this walk together. So I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. And hopefully if you're wrong about something, or if I have an issue with something, you wouldn't have a problem with me coming to you with it. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to make sure that we're doing the right thing. You know, don't try to put that pressure on us up here to make sure you get into heaven. You have to do that yourself. You have to test us to make sure what we're saying is correct also. All claims were put to the test, and the teaching would not be trusted until they passed this test. And this was, you know, one of her tests. Her test was to test him to see if he was being truthful to her. And when we speak of this passage, testing the spirit, it speaks false teaching and spirit behind the teaching. The word test comes from a Greek verb that refers to examination and evaluation. Much like a metal, you know, use acid to test to make sure if the metal is genuine or fake. Before atheists were allowed to hold office, he was subject to an examination as an order of his character before being able to hold that office. Everyone gets things wrong sometimes, but it's those ones that are bent on perverting the truth. And that's what I was talking about. I could get up here, and I'm not trying to get up here and tell you the wrong thing, but I do get things wrong. But it's those ones that know they're teaching you wrong, that's trying to bend and pervert the truth to get you to go wrong. It's the ones that we have to really, really worry about. We need to test the spirit before we simply accept or propose truth at face value, because not everything you hear is from God. A lot of what you hear, I ain't gonna say a lot of what you hear, but some of what you hear are lies that come from Satan. In John 10, 2 John 1, 10 through 11, if there come any unto you and bring not his doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he hath bid him Godspeed is partake of his evil deeds. A prophet is one who speaks for another. Here's a person who claims to speak for God. They are literally a prophet of God. If you're speaking for God, your message better line up with what God said and be from God. A messenger who make up their own message is not a prophet. They're using God to cover and deliver their own message. False prophets are those who are not in accordance with the truth. Notice if one calls to test the spirit, the one who were called to test the spirit were Christians. Not just the leadership, but all Christians were to test the spirit. Now, in order to test something, there must be a standard for truth. Truth is the truth, and there's no such thing as truth for you or truth for me. Let's examine the second test found in verse 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus came in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that this spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is in the world. This is the credibility test. We are given this test by verse 2, which you can determine if it was beginning spoken by its chance of being true. I would call it the truth test, and it's simple. One must confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. This seems simple. If a person would not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, they are not to be listened to as a source of truth. Some seminaries train people who will acknowledge that fact. We are to accept truth and teach Jesus is the Son of God and not a son of God. John tells us we can know the Spirit of God. We can do that by observing and deduction. If the Spirit is of God in us, it will show in the way we live. The confession about Jesus is to be an ongoing agreement. We must believe that he came, lived, and died for us, for our sins, and that he raised on the third day. If we believe that, we have the Spirit of truth in us. John said the person is from God, and God is the source of origin of the teaching. False teachers of John's day and our day question Jesus' humanity and identity. In verse 3, John speaks of Jesus Christ. The name covers his humanity and his identity. In verse 3, we also find the spirit of false teaching tested. It is also simple. Anyone who does not confess Jesus should not be listened to when it comes to the spiritual leaders, spiritual issues. If a person will acknowledge Jesus, they are not about the truth. This shows. Turn this light off. This shows the spirit of Antichrist that we spoke of. Remember that the Antichrist is one who is against Jesus. John said the spirit was already in the world during this time and is still here prevalent today. God takes this seriously. In Deuteronomy 18:20-22, but the prophet which shall presume to speak the word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or they shall speak in the name of other gods, even their prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the things fall not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet shall spoke it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now let's examine the third test. In John 4:4, 1 John 4:4. Hear of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than that he is in the world. This is the power test. This test involves the ability to deliver. In order to deliver, power is required. We need to always remember our victory comes through Jesus Christ, because God is greater than Satan. John emphatically reminds his readers that they belong to God and have overcome the false teachers. For John readers, when the false teachers appeared on the scene, John readers overcame them by remaining faithful, while others allowed themselves to be deceived. To overcome means to vanquish, subdue, or conquer. The verb tense of the word overcome denotes the reader had gained a previous victory and was still victorious. Jesus came in the past, coming in the past still influenced us in the present. It has given them no future promise of victory, but it gives us a hope that the future, because of the past and the present victory, they have won over the spirit of error. The truth is greater than lies. Truth will always cut, will always win over lies. When we are one to Christ through the truth of the gospel. If we have people who are trying to get us to doubt the Bible or the world of God, the Word of God, you have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? What are their motives? The truth makes you free. You don't want to be entrapped by things that are not true. You are free today because of Jesus. So why would you want to let someone entrap you again by listening to them and their lies? Some people do not like to hear the truth because it makes them have to take real action on their problems and accept responsibility for their actions. In 1 John 4:5-6, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and they world hear them. And the word heareth him. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There are some real differences between the spirit of the false teacher and the spirit of the truth. The source of which the teachers gain their knowledge reveal what they will teach. For instance, if an educated consistent of people who are marketing, what I teach will derive from that philosophy. I will see the world through their lenses. First, let's look and take a source of the spirit of the false teachers. In verse 5, it tells us that the source is the world. These people come from the world, and they are not of God, and they do not belong to God. Today, they are a pseudonym spiritual teacher. They teach the people that people have God or a spirit within them that only needs to be tapped. They claim many ways to discover this inner truth and spirit, most of which are not found in the Bible. Now, using some form of singing, prayer, meditation, they are not Bible-based. Instead, they piece together some Christian truth and combine it with their teaching from many religions, some of which does not recognize God or Christ at all. Since they are from the world, they speak worldly wisdom. In John's Gospel and letter, the term world, which can mean arrangement or system, describes the world system of belief as the community of those who stand in opposition to God. The world system opposes God's realm because Satan exerts his influence over the world. The false teachings, being part of the world system, speak from the world viewpoint. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the mind of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. As a result, the world listens to them. This is why so many people write off biblical teachings. They cannot understand it when it says, love your enemies. There are objective standards of right and wrong. In 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into faith. It appears that Christians are still not immune to these false teachings today. Now, looking at the spirit of truth, it comes from God according to verse 6. God is God of truth. All truth is of God. And if we are of God, we will listen to God. Who you listen to determines if you are following the spirit of truth or the spirit of lies. Reception of the truth depends on the hearer, not the messenger. In the parable of the sower, in Luke 8:4-15, Jesus tells us of a sowing seeds. And when much people were gathered together, and we come into him out of every city, he spake by parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the earth devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and that sown was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on the ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, and he that heard had ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might the parable be? And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others it's parable. They seeing that might not see, and hearing that might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, or those that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they shall believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they heard, received the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believed, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and were choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and begin to bring no fruit to perfection. But they that on the God's good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it and brought forth fruit with patience. To planted the same sower, the same seeds, and they all had a different result. It all depends on the soil which the seed was planted. The harvest depended on the soil. The end of verse 6 was tell, we can tell who the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. And it should be what they listen to. Are you preparing your heart, your soul, and your heart for the gospel? Are you ready to absorb the truth? If someone comes with a new view or a new truth, will you be prepared to test that truth? Will you be prepared to examine that message that they bring? As I said, I can get up here and I can say this and I can say that, and I want you to text me. I want you to, if I'm saying something wrong, please correct me, because I want to get there with you. And hopefully the message that I'm saying, it'll get us there together. Hopefully, I don't know everything. I'm flawed, and hopefully you know that I'm flawed and you can help me. I'm asking for help. Any way I can. We have to test the spirit. We have to test the message that's being brought to us. We have to make sure that we line up with God's word. And that's the message I have here for today. Is there anyone who's subject to the call, gospel call, or need the prayers of the church, can come as we stand and sing the song that we selected.